Hi, everybody. Welcome to the Revenue Growth Architects podcast with Chrissy, Xander, and Charlie. And today we're going to be talking about account tiers. So specifically, how to establish account tiers for your account-based go-to-market strategy. Yeah, so we've done some podcasts in the past around account stages and so forth, and we've alluded to account tiers if you've listened to those. So today we're going to be focusing specifically on the account tiering and what that is and what it means, how to do it. So just want to kind of lay the groundwork first. So why should you do account tiering? I think when you think about ABX or ABM strategy, you have like your usually your kind of key set of accounts. So there's a large amount of accounts that are like a good fit for you. But then what do you actually do with those accounts is really where people get a bit tripped up. And how do you align the teams around specific accounts to put so much effort into? So I think during a given time, you only have a certain set amount of budget or time or resources and people to actually go after these accounts. So account tiering can not only be good to get an insight into the value of those accounts, but what you actually do to them. So when we think of account tiering, that could be really useful to actually show like how much budget should we put into actually trying to acquire this account? How much intent does that account have? What is the revenue also potential of that account, which can dictate probably how much budget you would put into it? And then once you've done some of that tiering, you can actually align your marketing and sales team efforts around that. So when should a salesperson get pulled in? When should it just be, you know, SDRs doing more of the research for that account? What type of acquisition tactics and budget should we put into it? Should they get like a direct mail versus should we do more high touch, like low budget touches to that account? And so being very prescriptive around that and getting everyone aligned on what they should do based on the account tier can be useful for prioritizing those activities and making it really clear and creating alignment across the team. That's where I see the real value for it, not only being like a reporting kind of measurement aspect of your accounts, but really also to drive alignment and prioritization of activities and budget and so forth that you put into that account. So yeah, but I think as far as how to do account tiering, that's where we want to spend a majority of the podcast time. So to kick it off, Xander, where should you start when you're trying to do your account tiering?
Let's start with what not to do. Don't just select all of the logos that you know about. I think oftentimes what I see is when sales drives account tiering and target account selection and whatnot, they don't necessarily have the market research behind them. And so they're picking out the logos that I would be excited to get. And that's all fun and good. But if it doesn't actually align to potential revenue increases, it's not going to be a good selection. So it has to be something that like marketing has a place at the table. Of course, sales also needs to have a place at the table. It's a joint effort to get these things done. We always recommend starting with identifying what your ICP is. Many organizations, I'd say most organizations, have a defined ICP. If you do not, now is the time to do so. If you do, now is the time to evaluate if it's working or not. Sometimes we get into conversations and it's like, here's our ICP. And then you go and you conduct some win-loss analysis and you start to look at the ICP that you have defined actually isn't responsible for what your close won revenue has become. It's kind of an art and a science, honestly. The science might be more of conducting a win-loss analysis and identifying what are the industries that we're selling into, what's the company sizes that we're selling into within our customer base. What does our customer makeup look like between these? Maybe there's technographic data that you have access to that's going to help you understand like organizations that already have solution A, B, and C are more likely to purchase with us. So it's really important to get that right. But it's also really important to be partnering with your product marketing team or your brand team, whoever it is that's responsible for doing that market research and identifying your ICP there. Because sometimes your ICP may be more aspirational. And we'll talk about that as we think about the different tiers of accounts. Maybe if you look at your win-loss, you don't have a lot of the really large enterprise accounts yet that you want to sell into. That doesn't necessarily mean that they shouldn't be one of your targets. But just taking that opportunity, we always say it like it's just a model and it's going to take some thought to really identify what works and what doesn't work. But start with a win-loss analysis, partner with your marketing team to identify what that true ICP is. And then with that information, Charlie's going to walk through how to actually go about tiering the accounts.
Nice handoff.
You're welcome.
I like that. Yeah, we've seen this operationalized many different ways. We do have our perspective, which I think is a really good starting point. And probably really, if you want to find a way, this way just works. So when you think about tiering, you're really trying to use the data and the insights that you've got out of what Chrissy and Xander were just talking about. When you're thinking through your ICP, you're thinking through what are the companies that have the highest propensity to buy from us? What is that potential deal size? And you're taking the data around those accounts. So the propensity for each account to buy, is it going to be a big potential revenue opportunity for you? And then you're layering your accounts in three different layers. So starting at the top, you'll have what we call your key accounts. This is going to be a smaller group of accounts that have a really high propensity to buy, great lookalikes, all your best customers look a lot like them based on all of the variables you care about. They've got a really high deal potential. Like say you sell seats and they're a bigger company, then they've got a bigger deal potential. And then under that, you have your valuable accounts. So these are still really good. They probably got a pretty good propensity to buy, a relatively good deal potential, not quite your key accounts, but they're still going to be up there. They're still very valuable accounts. And then under that, you have your programmatic accounts where they're still aligned with your ICP. You might sell to finance and tech. So they're in that category. They're not going to be someone who's like, running a doctor's office somewhere, right? Like they're not completely outside of your ICP. They're still pretty much in your ICP, maybe a broad definition of your ICP, but they also maybe have a lower deal potential. Say again, the example I gave on seats, you're selling seats. So they may be a smaller company, but potentially they're a fast growing company and one day they can move up into one of the other tiers. So when you layer all of your accounts in your full target account list into these tiers, the reason why you're doing that is because you want your marketing and sales efforts to be relative to the deal size potential and the propensity to buy. You don't want to be spending a shitload of money on trying to acquire a programmatic account, right? Because potentially your customer acquisition cost is going to be way too high for the revenue potential for that account. So you need to layer in your marketing and sales activities. So when you think about your key accounts, you're going to be putting a lot of sales outbound into those. Maybe your best salespeople, maybe it's just AEs that are doing the outbound. They could partner with SDRs. That could be a whole podcast on how to do that. But you're going to be really putting in your best sales efforts there. There's going to be more expensive marketing efforts. Like maybe you're doing local events just for your key accounts. Maybe you're doing direct mail, or you're trying really to align what is going to be the most impactful marketing, which is often more of the expensive marketing, with those accounts. Because if you land that account, well, one, it's going to be more likely to land that account because it's the best fit account for you. But two, it's going to be the biggest deal potential. So that revenue potential that you're getting out of them is going to be at the right level for how high that customer acquisition cost is going to be. So then you go down the layer to the valuable account. This is going to be somewhere in the middle between programmatic and key accounts, where you're not spending as much for your key accounts, but you're still putting a good amount of budget into trying to acquire these accounts. Because again, they're still going to be decently sized revenue opportunity for you. And the programmatic account, this could be those accounts where you want to, I hate calling it like air cover, but a way to just try and engage with those accounts without getting too hot on budget expenditure, right? So it could be some targeted ads. It could be email, it could be some SDR outreach, although I would still think maybe SDRs are probably better fit for the valuable and key accounts, but trying to at least really think about, I don't want to be spending a ton of money on these accounts. I'm going to be spending some money, right? Because they're still my ICP and I want to be trying to engage with them, but I'm not going to be spending a ton of money because the deal potential isn't there. And I want to make sure that, again, my costs are relative to the revenue potential. So that's how we think about tiers. And once you have that strategy, you want to document that and get your team aligned on that and really operate in that way. I have seen in the past, like, you've got a great strategy, you've detailed this out, but then you've got AEs going after programmatic accounts, or you've doing like expensive direct mail to people can go off the rails quickly if you don't have the right safeguards in place. But again, really trying to think through this strategically to make sure that the strategy behind what you're doing from an account-based point of view is solid. And then you can move on to operationalizing it, buying tech, all of this kind of stuff. But really thinking through, are we just targeting the right accounts the right way, is the essence of this tiering strategy.
Yeah, totally. I was going to mention this when Xander said something like around the ICP, but it's so crazy to me. Like, sometimes companies will just be like, okay, we need to create a target account list. Let's just go get intent data or a tool to help us get intent on accounts. And like, let's just prioritize those accounts. And I mean, even for our own business, we know just because someone's searching for you or wants to work with you, it doesn't mean that they're actually like a really good fit for your company. And there's still costs to keeping like a customer, making them happy. So even if they're not the right business, even if you're getting business, if it's not the right business and you're not seeing like a good NRR or, you know, all that, I think that can play a big role. So I think first establishing the right accounts to go after and what your ICP is and how they fit to that. And then layering on the level of intent that you're talking about and the value, the revenue potential, which is also super key into how much effort your team puts into, is such an eye-opener and can be so useful, rather than taking that very broad approach of just like, let's just try and capture whatever we can here. But to end it, because I know when we talk about tiering, it seems like this could be like a little bit malleable, or you want to update this. So Xander, like, how often do you think that companies should go back and review their tiers or be able to change a tier on account, and what would trigger that change?
I think when it comes to account tiering, it's really important that you give it time to ruminate and blossom. Like, at the end of the day, you're planting a seed. And so if you're starting, let's say that you start Q1 and you have your target account list and you have all of your key accounts defined, it's going to take a while to really drive demand within that account. Especially because we're talking larger revenue, which usually means larger organizations. You're trying to find the right buyers. You're trying to get in front of the right people. And you may be being told left and right, like, we're not interested, we're not interested. But it's a very large organization that you are likely trying to drive into. And so, if you get to, and we even had this internal debate, if you get to this point where I've already tapped into my key account, it's like, have you really? Because it's a giant account. It's a giant organization. Have you grabbed all of the stakeholders that you can find within all of the subsidiaries, within all of the different buying centers that could potentially be within that account? Most likely not. So even if you have, it's still going to take a while for marketing messaging to start to resonate within that account. I definitely recommend 6 months is like a good minimum to be able to say, here's my target accounts. I'm doing all of this work. Maybe we get into the mid-year and we've started to make some traction and we've started to make some headway. So we're going to be able to continue to grow that. And maybe at that 6-year mark, you pull in some new ones. Because now we can start the process with some new key accounts and start to drive them through the pipeline of your account-based selling motion. But it's usually a longer play, especially with some of these large organizations.
Totally.
And that's the reason why you still have programmatic accounts. That's one area where intent data, first-party intent data specifically, is really valuable, because you can bubble up the accounts that are showing motion, that they're in market, because you obviously have to be able to close opportunities within that time period. But this is an investment. This is a muscle that you're going to be growing, and you're going to be working into these larger accounts with higher touch marketing and sales efforts. Do not change them every month. Even every quarter can be way too rapid in order to be able to actually make progress.
I agree with that. And like, we know that marketing, it takes time to like see the results from that. You know, there's so many touch points that need to happen toward an account, or there's so many attempts, or even if just a programmatic account, if you're running certain type of marketing campaigns, like the amount of time it takes to actually see pipeline or revenue from just any marketing activity can be 6 months to a year. So knowing that as like the backdrop, like, you need to give these tiers the time, like you said, to really set the stage for the strategy and then let the strategy take its time to work and push forward. So totally agree on that. But yeah, account tiers. Any final words or tips from both of you?
I think we summed it up. I think we got it. I mean, it's worth the effort. It can be hard to get sales and marketing aligned, and sometimes takes a bit of time to get that a list drawn up and choose the tiers. But if you're not doing that and you maybe just have a checkbox for all of these accounts or target accounts, then you're really missing a trick. That's an inefficient way to go about handling target accounts, and you're going to not have the right success that you're looking for.
Yeah.
So take the time. Like everything we say, it's not a two-year process, but try and get it done relatively quickly, but still take the time, because it will help you save time down the road and really help you have a solid strategy foundation to build upon.
Mm-hmm. It's like such a key part of creating alignment across your team and giving them direction, which is what people need with this ABM strategy. Like, assume your roles, assume the positions, target this account this way. And the more you can put those clear lines and divisions and strategy around this, the better. This is strategy. Getting an ABM platform, not a strategy. But having tiers and then figuring out like what plays you want to run or the types of tactics, amount of budget that you put at those accounts with those certain tiers. Now that's a strategy.
Louder for the people in the back.
Well, hopefully that was useful for everyone. And if your team is, you know, working through an ABM strategy, or they feel like their target account strategy has not been useful for them, it might be because they need more account tiers to help drive that. So definitely share with them. And yeah, hope you enjoy this episode, and we'll see you next time on Revenue Growth Architects Podcast. Have a good one.